Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
We are in for something special.
This is Triple M. It's the weekend. Our favourite time of the week. Every exhilarating moment live. Here on digital radio and on the Triple M app. For Ream Hot Water, this is Triple M Footy.
And a very good afternoon right across the Triple M network. Sunday Triple M NRL. What a round it's been so far. Broncos 28, Dogs 6. Warriors 19, Sharks 18. Poor old Sharkies are in a bit of bother at the moment. Panthers 40, Dragons 18. Talk about bother. What about the Dragons? Roosters 48, Knights 10, Raiders 20, Tigers 12, Souths got home to beat the Cowboys 30 points to 18. My name is Anthony Maroon. Joining me today from Fox League, Gordon Tallis from NRL 360 on Fox League, my old mate Paul Kent, and James Triceps Hooper is here as well. Let's start with you, Triceps. How's your weekend been so far?
It's been very good, thank you, Anthony. And I'm told you've got a new nickname. Sean Timmins has brought this to our attention, Golden Gloves.
Mate, what I would suggest to you is what you don't need is another palooka in your circle of friends. Don't listen to what Sean Timmins says. Paul Kent, how's your health?
Yeah, it's going okay, Anthony. Been laid down a little bit with the flu this week, but all good.
Righto. Well, yeah, on the way out, my Christine, Miss Portugal, said, give my regards to Paul. I know he hasn't been well. She's got an old-fashioned Portuguese remedy for the flu,
right?
Which, if it continues, mate, we can get it made up for you.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate that.
No worries. Gordon Tallis, we've had a wonderful week together. We did a function together on Friday. You were sensational.
Oh, thank you, Anthony. I was out at Emu Plains. Say g'day. And bumped into Peter Kelly. What a tough player he was. And
Lenny Stacker?
Yeah, Lenny Stacker too, the old Penrith coach.
How good's Lenny look?
For 70, outstanding. Outstanding. Fit old guy, but I loved it. And they're very proud of their club. And yeah, rugby league's really strong out there in the West.
All right, boys. Well, lots of things going on in rugby league, which we'll get to in the course of the day. No less, of course, the Dragons have now won only 3 games in 3 months. So we're going to focus on that a little bit very shortly. So if you're a Dragons fan, hang around because the boys have all got an opinion on what's going on there. Canberra Raiders are now well and truly cemented into the top 4 with a big victory over the West Tigers. Top 4 are now adrift 4 points of everyone else. Still some games to go, but I don't think that'll matter. So we'll talk to Josh Hodgson. The Rabbitohs getting a win. We'll try and have a chat with Ethan Lowe a little bit later on. And the Roosters yesterday scored, 6 tries in 24 minutes. So plenty of rugby league to talk about ahead of a big game at 4 o'clock this afternoon, Parramatta and Manly. So we'll come back and we'll talk about the poor old Dragons as Triple M rocks the footy. Sunday, Triple M NRL right across the Triple M network. And, of course, you can get us on the app too, which you should be getting now, getting ready for finals football, which is only just a little bit less than a couple of months away. Tyre Power, buy 4 or more selected BF Goodrich tyres and receive a gift card up to $100. Why am I telling you that? Because they are presenting these scores for us today. One of them over the weekend, Panthers 40, Dragons 18. For the poor old Dragons, they've had 76 points scored against them, Paul, in the last fortnight. And they've only won 3 games in 3 months. They've let go some very, very, very big leads as well. And it's just, if maybe you're a Dragons supporter, you want to give us a call, 1-3-3-5-3. But where do they go from here, the Dragons, Paul?
Oh, look, there's no simple answer, Anthony. They've just got to get back to basics and hard work, essentially. You've got to just get back and really knuckle down on your core skills, and it's almost like you got to go back to preseason training, as far as not the physical exertion, but the fundamental training that you need to start to put back into them. They're defensively, St. George Illawarra are strangers. They don't know who's around them. They need just constant drill work so they get used to the guys next to them. If I was Paul McGregor, I'd be doing things like making them sit next to each other in their defensive order during the week. Go and have lunch together, guys. You sit next to the bloke who you defend next to.
Maybe it's that old Chris Anderson thing. We're not going to talk about footy today. We're just going to go and have a beer and hang around together for a little while.
Well, look, the issue, I don't know if that's quite the answer, because the issue with them, they do need a circuit breaker. That's where you're getting at, and I understand that. But they need something to change things up, because sometimes the harder you work, the worse it gets for you. So you need something to just break it up, get into it, and then readjust. And if I'm Paul McGregor, I'm almost either giving them a slow week, or I'm sitting there and I'm trying to, an afternoon out at the pub, counter lunch. Let's just get to talk to each other and just try and break it up. Get out of that mentality of getting beaten every week and just find something common with your teammate and let's just get back on the same page. But from a football perspective, what they're trying to implement is very hard to see because some are three quarters of the way through the book, some are halfway through the book. Mm. Then they're not in the same place. So you need to bring them back and reset, get it all going again. And it begins with just, I would just do mountains this week of defensive drills.
Yeah. It's important to point out, Anthony, Jack DeBellin was a real issue for the club at the beginning of the season, then continues to be massive loss, such a key part of their success last season. Then they lost Gareth Widdop, who's their captain as well. He's back, we believe, next week. So that's a massive in for the Dragons. I think Mary McGregor's going to rush him in and probably play him at six, and we'll see Corey Norman possibly go back to the fullback role. What that means for Matt Duffy, whether he remains in the side or whether he goes back and spends a little bit of time for the cutters, we'll figure out. We'll see the way they play their cards on Tuesday. But look, they have had some hard cards. James Graham being injured for a long period of time as well. He's another key player.
Every team's had injuries to overcome this year. Look at South at the moment, getting through without Sam Burgess. Every team's got people. The Roosters, for the first time on the weekend, had their spine, their starting spine together for the first time since round one.
And then lost Jake Friend with a broken forearm and still managed to find a way to spend the night.
But what I'm saying is every team's got injuries. The Dragons, every team goes into a season knowing they've got injuries. So you've got to anticipate that and you've got to be good enough to overcome that once it happens. You can't keep sitting there going, well, look who we're missing. And I understand emotionally Jack DeBellin took a big toll on the club. But at some point you've got to say, boys, we're professionals here. We need to just get over this.
Well, the big call, Gordy, was the Ben Hunt decision to rest Ben Hunt. What did you make of it?
Look, he asked for time off, didn't he?
I think there was a meeting between he and Mary, and they had a frank conversation where clearly Ben is fatigued out of State of Origin.
Yeah.
And so they agreed that in the interest of his welfare, that was the best thing for him and for the team as well.
Well, a fresh fit 100% Ben Hunt is better for him than 80% for the next couple of weeks. I think they look tired. Not one of their players made over 100 metres. Mate, I'm not a big stat man, but eight Penrith guys made over like 100, 150 metres. So they're winning the battle, you know. So that's the energy that you bring to the game. If he's tired and he runs out there and then the week after and it's Groundhog Day, it ends up taking all the energy out of you. So giving him, you know, 5 days away from training to freshen up, but it looks like Vaughan needs it as well. But you know, Tyson Frizzell, who I believe is one of the best back rows in the game, if not on his day, are the best, you know, had 7 runs for 70 metres. Like, that's not his performance. Not that he doesn't want to do it, but it's just that they're tired, Paul.
When you're recruited to a club as the marquee player, you're on over $1 million a year.
I get all that.
It's your job to get right. It's your job to get yourself right. And that's unfortunately, see.
So would you have played?
But I think
Ben
he's
Hunt
got a great excuse, Paul, because he plays number seven for the Dragons.
I think Paul McGregor has got a really good reason to give Ben Hunt a kick up the backside and say, mate, I don't know what it takes for you, but for the best part of $50,000 a game, mate, you get yourself right. You know, I just don't understand.
So you would have played him?
Well, we just
you would have made him
no,
play?
I tend to agree that I probably wouldn't have because by the time it had got to that stage, I think Hunt looked like he was tired. He was playing like he was tired. But for goodness sake, you're supposed to be a professional athlete. Like, we have this thing in the NRL.
But when it comes to an athlete, he's a sprinter, right? He's a 400-meter runner. Mate, they put him in a marathon. They put him in the middle to play 80 minutes in State of Origin.
If he can't handle that, don't do it.
Well, he did for his state.
He did for his state. He copped the 90 grand to get it.
And then when he comes out of it, mate, he's a bit tired.
Well,
you went 3 days off this week, didn't you?
That's illness.
Yeah, well, mate, he might be feeling the same way, not 100%.
Hey, look, we can't all holiday in the Greek islands halfway through a football season.
holiday in the football season. These blokes are special.
Tennis ball, Ed.
Listen, I want to stick on topic if I can.
I like your haircut, too,
Anthony. Thank you.
It looks like a tennis ball that's been sitting on my roof for 3 years. You know, it just loses
the
colour and goes that grey.
He did that at the corporate function. They all laughed, and I could see his head say, I've got to do this on Sunday.
Mate,
was the haircut inspired by some of the feedback last weekend?
No, it wasn't. Because I said to my wife, upset you. No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He doesn't. I don't take fashion tips from him.
From me?
From you.
Well, because I said you had a lesbian's haircut.
Yes. But I had to have a haircut, and I said to my wife...
Clearly didn't cop the tip, because it looks more lesbian. You just shaved it even closer to your head.
I've been concerned about you
all
week.
Looks like
don't start
lady.
On me. Stick to the topic just once.
It's a little bit Martina.
What's that song? What's that song, Dude Looks Like a Lady?
Aerosmith. Yeah. Danny Widler writes today, boys, in the Sun Herald. Danny writes that privately the Dragons say Jack DeBellin is the anchor that is weighing down their season, and they are close to breaking point. So,
what does that mean?
Maybe you might be able to tell me.
I think emotionally, it has taken a toll, and it underwrites everything they've done this season. Every loss the Dragons had early in the season, they walked off and they looked over in the dressing room and saw a fit, healthy Jack DeBellin, and thought if he'd played today, we probably would have won this game.
Mm.
And that's the issue. But that's an emotional issue. And this is my point. We are selectively professional in this game. We are professional when it comes to, I need a rest, so you need to be professional and allow me to go and lay down. I need this, let me be a professional. But when it comes time to toughen up and be a professional and just get through whatever rubbish is coming your way, which sometimes happens in professional sport, that's also a requirement. But when that happens, we don't seem to have the same appetite for being professional when we're in that part of the world.
But some people aren't born that way, because when Sam Burgess hurt his shoulder, I was talking to him before a game. He goes, oh, mate, I've got to go have an operation. I've been playing with it for like 3 years. Like, it's been really sore. So how do you get that attitude, Paul? I think you're born with it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Gordon.
You can develop it, but certain players have got that edge. You had it
when you played. Sam Burgess has got it today.
But this goes through to, I reckon, the development stages of a player, where many of the players say, because they are clearly identified as talent, because we are so early to pick talent and put them on the pathways through to streamline to NRL football, we overlook a lot of other areas in their development, such as resilience and toughness.
Yeah.
And you don't get players like, who is a hero of mine, like Chris Heinington, who just did it the tough way the whole way through. He was never identified as a talent. He was never put on a pathway and, okay, mate, you're straight into the rep side because we know how good you are. He trialed for everything he did. He got a bus and a ferry and a train to get to Western Suburbs or West Tigers trials, open trials, turned up and played for a contract and turned it into a 300-game career.
But that's what we all had to do in the old days.
Yeah, but that's what's missing, Gordon. Yeah. That's what I'm saying is missing these days. So many kids are identified at 14, and they don't. Every time there's a little bit of adversity in their life, rather than someone saying, well, mate, you know what? You're 16 years old. You figure out how you're going to get your
way
through this.
But that's not rugby league's problem. That's... Mate, that goes back to society,
don't give
mate.
Me like, that bullshit.
Well, Paul,
that is rugby league's problem.
Okay, so
it might also be society's problem, but it is
like
rugby league's problem.
Right? So like 14, that kid's going to school. He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't get the cane. He goes home. His mum gives him a cuddle. It's always the teacher's fault.
Yep.
Then he comes into our game.
Yep.
And now it's our fault.
Yep. It's not our fault.
But you just said it was.
But it is a rugby league problem. It's not a society problem. To throw off and say it's a society problem is essentially
a 16-year-old kid that's never been disciplined, and all of a sudden we come down on him like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, well, I just think there's too many coaches who are coaching 16s and 18s and all that who identify that if that kid stays in my team, then we're going to win more games. Therefore, I'm going to get a chance to win the premiership. Therefore, next year, rather than coaching 18s, I'll be coaching 20s, and then hopefully in 5 years after that, I'll be coaching NRL. So they got their own ambitions. So they overlooked these players who at that age are playing up or not doing the right thing or not even toughing it out.
Yeah, let's bring back court.
All right, look, let's...
seriously, mate. Can you shut up? Oh, let me do this for your sake. Shut up before you sound any dumber.
Paul, listen, you were saying that it's rugby league's fault.
I didn't say it's rugby league's fault. I said it's a problem in rugby league.
Can we...
You said it's society's fault. Like, seriously, cry me a river.
All right, now the Dragons fans are gone Burko here. We've got a lot of Dragons fans on the phone that want to have their say on what is going wrong. Remember, they've lost their last two games. An aggregate of 76 points has been scored against them, and they've won 3 games in 3 months. 1-3-3-5-3. We're going to go to George's Hall. Wallace, what would you like to say, Wallace?
Well, mate, first of all, I'm a Bulldog supporter, so we're in the same boat as they are. But I just feel sorry for Dean and for Mary as well. I mean, I'm sick and tired of people blaming the coaches. I mean, Mary's probably tearing his hair out with tweezers and magnifying glass. But, you know, what can he do? He puts them through the drills. These guys are professionals. If they haven't got the pride in themselves to win a game or get together and say, well, you know, guys, so what? We've lost a few players, so are the other teams. You know?
Yeah, spot on.
Grow a set and have a go.
Good on you, Wallace. Well said. 1-3-3-5-3. Thanks for your call, mate. Your thoughts, and maybe you're not a Dragon supporter and you want to weigh in. 1-3-3-5-3, we're talking about the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and we have Michael there. Michael, what did you want to say, mate?
I just want to say for 6 years now, we've had a rookie coach at the Dragons. And about 4 years ago, we were leading the comp. And then halfway through, we had player burnout. And for the last 4 years, each year, Paul McGregor has said he'll address player burnout, especially over the origin period. And then this year, in his sixth year, he still hasn't done it. He should have rested the origin players against Canberra last week after the young guys had an impressive game against the Storm the week before. And then he should have brought them all back fresh for the Penrith game. It's just the same mistakes every year.
Oh, yeah. I believe he could have staggered the rest. You don't rest them all at the same time. You could have staggered the rest. But let's be honest, there are other players who have come through Origin who haven't been rested and are playing terrific football. You look at what's happened at Manly today, and the blokes are going to run out for them.
Yeah.
Trbojevic is like, they just turn up every week.
Look at Boyd Cordner with the Roosters.
It's part of playing Origin, which is being increasingly lost in Origin, is the fact that you've been rewarded as one of the best players in the game to go and play Origin. And part of the reason that you've been able to achieve that is because of the help of your teammates. So when you come back after Origin, your job then is to help your teammates who have been suffering without you and playing without you. And that's been the mentality of all the good times. That's Gordon, that was your era. I'm loath to call you in again. But that was certainly.
Well, I just got a text from one of my mates, Crossy, up in Queensland, and said, you need to go get a schooner and chill out a bit. He thinks you're a little bit stressed out. He said,
Crossy, seriously.
Don't start on Crossy.
Crossy, it's encouragement like this that causes the problem.
Yeah. I mean, even...
But Gordon, back in your Brisbane days, wasn't it a sign of gratitude towards your teammates?
It's a badge of honour to come back and play.
For your team and play well.
But it's
being lost in the game.
I wasn't in one of those positions where I had to make decisions under fatigue, like an Alf or a Kevy. So it would have been harder on the playmakers. And with Ben Hunt, so Wayne would give us 4 days off. All as I knew that I had to run the ball hard and not miss any tackles. For a guy to steer the team around like a Ben Hunt, he's got to be at training. Otherwise, he's missing the beat. So it's harder on playmakers than it is on a forward, I believe, to come back and back up. I know we get more bumps and bruises, and it's harder. But once we start rolling on, it's a little bit easier. Yeah, I don't know what it's like for a playmaker.
The rest for Hunt should have been managed during the week at training. That's when they should have finished him up after Origin and just said, mate, don't see you until you bring your boots for the game.
It's sort of mentally you need to break. It's not the physical part because you get a 10-day break between games. So it's not so much physically you need to rest. It's more mentally from going and doing the same thing over and over again and the pressure of Origin.
Surely there should have been a clear plan, Kenty. There should have been, we found out that it was only a meeting between Mary and Ben Hunt last Tuesday that led to Ben being rested.
But that's because he played so poorly the week before.
We knew that he was going to be playing hooker for Queensland for 240 minutes throughout the Origin series.
Yeah, that's a fair call.
All right, 1-3-3-5-3, St. George Illawarra Dragons fans still on the phone there. This time we're going to go to Hurstville. That's well and truly Dragons land. Chris, what do you want to say? Hello, Chris. Oh, hang on. Sorry, Robert. Robert's just pushed in there from Lugano. Sorry, Rob. What did you want to say, mate?
Yeah, mate. How you going?
Go for your life, mate.
I just wanted to say that a bit of an issue with the Dragons, in my opinion, is the back five.
Yes.
We've got a bit of an issue of when we're going set for set with the opposition, where we tend to make maybe 20 metres with our first three hit-ups. We've got Dufty, who's a great bloke, but unfortunately, he's not hitting the line hard enough to get to push through the line. And we're surrendering our first tackle. And then our two wingers, at the moment anyway, are just making maybe 5 to 10 metres. So we're losing that battle. And our forwards are going to run all the way back to our 10-metre line pretty much on the third tackle just to get back up there again. And that's where we're losing the battle in the match, in my opinion, at the moment. I don't have any answers. I don't know the full squad. But we need some big bodies out on the wings, and at the back.
But unfortunately, Robert,
otherwise we're not going to win a premiership with that back five.
Now you need bigger guys. Sure. You need bigger guys, and unfortunately, for a bloke like Dufty, he has a really bad knack of when he returns the ball of being caught, picked up, and dropped on his back. Yeah. And it's really important to at least be able to poke your head through the tackle, elbows and knees, quick play the ball, so then your wingers straight behind you are coming on with some momentum. And Dufty has this ability, every team's doing it to him, is they're basically, they're making the play the ball so slow that by the time the wingers then hit up that first shot, what's happened is they're up against a full defensive line ready to go.
This is a good point here, Hoops. Like the poor old, in defense of Mary McGregor, in defense of Paul McGregor, who just recently signed an upgrade on his contract, he's got $1 million forward pack. There's no question, but he's got a couple of wingers we've hardly seen before at NRL level and couple of blokes that are well undersized.
Ravalau is a work in progress, but I wouldn't describe him as... I don't think he's undersized, Anthony.
He's inexperienced.
Yeah, is there a place now in an NRL side that's won 3 games in 3 months, is there a place for a work in progress? I mean, if we're going to blame Mary McGregor...
There is if it's the best option available. You can't have all jockeys out there playing in your back five.
I think they'll make a big change this week with Gareth Widdop being back. I reckon Widdop will be in the six. I'm not sure Dufty will remain in the side, and I reckon Corey Norman will go to fullback. Whether that's the answer or not, I'm not certain, but I reckon they know they need to do something different.
Yeah, I just feel like that poor old Mary McGregor. I mean, I know the fault all lies with him, but he's had injury after injury into Origin. He's had more injuries than James Graham and Gareth Widdop. He's had one or two big names out every week. Then Origin hits. So he's got no forward pack. The only constant in that side is the back five.
But Anthony, that happens to every team. And to be fair, through that Origin period, they were playing teams that were also affected by injury and Origin representation. So it's not like they were the only team that it's been affected by. The trick is you just got to get through it.
The Dragons board, Kenty, are going to have to hold their nerve here because the Dragons fans, as we know, are a pretty cutthroat bunch. They don't tolerate the side performing the way that they are at the moment. And if you see, there's petitions and everything going on social media about trying to remove Mary from his position. So there's a board meeting this week. From all the reports in the paper, Mary McGregor's role is not going to be discussed at that board meeting, but they are going to have to hold their nerve, Maroon, because the heat's going to continue to intensify while the losses continue to mount.
And the other part to it, I think it's important to remember, is Mary's not in charge of recruitment at the club or retention. He's got no say over the roster at the club. That's all Ian Millwood's area. St. George, one of the few clubs that separate that from the head coach.
There's a few of them now. Brisbane do it, the Bunnies.
One of the few.
I reckon Basil Millwood's
actually what it means, isn't it?
Yes.
He's on fire. You can get sick today. Any week, Paul.
Mate, look, you just get back to drawing your picture or whatever you're doing over there.
Like, who does the recruiting at the Titans, Gordy? One of the members. Who does the recruiting at the Tigers this week?
Look at you.
Listen to you, right? You win one game. Look at you. Okay, take your wife's shirt off, right?
No, mate.
Listen here. Okay, you want to she's kick every side on. And every coach that's down.
I'm trying to defend Paul McGregor, not kick him while he's down like you blokes are. I'm trying to defend the bloke.
Hey, no, hang on. No one's putting the slipper into Mary.
None of us have put the slipper into Mary.
Well,
don't go barking like a Pomeranian off the leash, all right? Just relax.
All right, boys. Well, you're on fire today. I better give you a little break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the Canberra Raiders. They are in the top four, looking good. And we'll talk about those guys, and we'll talk about that other game last night very shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M footy. For Ream Hot Water.
Yeah, welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. For Tyre Power, Broncos 28, Dogs 6. Warriors 19, Sharks 18. What's that, 5 losses in a row now, Sharks? Panthers 40, Dragons 18. Roosters just scored 42 points in the second half to beat Knights 48-10. South, of course, beat the Cowboys 30-18. The game we want to talk about now, Raiders over the West Tigers by 20 points to 12. And the hero of that Canberra Raiders side, a lot of people think perhaps the most influential number 9 in the NRL, Josh Hodgson joins us. And welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL, Josh.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And congratulations to the Raiders, now firmly implanted into that top four. Top four are clear of the teams under them on the ladder now.
Yeah, it's. I thought it was a really important game for us last night. We spoke about getting a couple of back-to-back wins together, and we knew the Knights or the Roosters was going to get beat, and they're two teams that are probably pushing for that top four. So it was a good opportunity to pick up 2 points and try and really, as you said, solidify ourselves in that top four. It's such an important thing to try and get when you come to the back end of the year. It gives you a second chance if you get beat, or it gives you a week off if you win. So it can be a real advantage at the back end of the year.
Yeah, congratulations on another great performance last night, Josh. I wanted to ask, was it a big week for the club in terms of the history of the club? I know that you had a Hall of Fame dinner down there leading up to last night's match, and it's the reunion of the 1989 Grand Final. You saw all those legends on the sideline and in the stands. They were great scenes. As current players, do you buy into that? And is it cool to have a little bit of a walk down memory lane and have some of those legends around the club and look back at some of the achievements that they were able to make?
Yeah, we do, mate. I know from the outside in, some people might think it's maybe just a little bit of a gimmick and just a bit of a promotion from the club. But us as players, we love speaking to the old blokes that have played in the past Raiders teams and catching up and saying hello. And quite a lot of them are still involved in the game in one way or another. So we really buy into it a lot. And when you're at those dinners and you see the highlights of them, winning big games and lifting trophies and stuff like that, does make you a bit envious and makes you want to go make your own bit of history and not keep watching all the old stuff, which I think is a really good attitude to have. But it's going to be a tough run home if we're going to do that.
Hey, Josh, obviously most sides that win the competition, they got the talent, but secondly, they got the belief. How are you guys going with belief on, getting to a weekend in October and holding up the trophy?
Now, I think we've probably had more belief this year than we ever have. I think from the it's my fifth year here this year, and you can just feel something there that the boys just know it doesn't really matter who you're against. We know that if we're on, we'll win. It's sometimes when you've got a squad, you think you have to get the bounce of the ball and play well to probably get the results. Sometimes against the top teams, when you're probably not being playing your best footy and stuff, and you're sitting kind of mid table, and you've been a bit inconsistent. But this year, when we're on, and we've seen that in spits and spats in the past previous years, but mainly just when we blow teams out the water by 40 points, but we'd still be conceding a fair few. I think, the attitude towards our defence this year has been probably the biggest turn in the tide. I think a bit of a change in personnel's helped that a little bit, and just a freshening up of the mindset going into this year.
Do you feel that on the field, Josh, when you're under pressure? Because from watching the Raiders in recent years, whenever there's a little bit of pressure applied to your defence, there's always a little bit of a fear that you're going to crack at some point, but that's not there this year.
Yeah, I think we've what it gets like, people speak about when you just have that feeling that you're not going to get beaten. In quite a lot of games this year, we've had that feeling, and I know last night was no different, even though we was under the pump for a lot at the back end of that game, and I reckon 2 years ago we'll maybe sat here today saying, how did you lose that? So I think we've come a long way, and I don't know what it is, mate, that exactly what I can put my finger on, but I think just as I say, changing personnel and just the attitude shift's been a whole lot different this year, and we've still got a long way to go. We're not patting ourselves on the back and stuff. We've got a lot of improvement in us, and as you say, it's a really tough comp. You've got to have a lot of luck with injuries and stuff like that, as well as have a good squad to win it, but there's a lot of confidence about the players this year.
Okay, you've got six, seven more games before the finals begin. What is the goal between here and there? What do you need to improve? Where do you get better at?
Probably, I think, being a bit more patient in our structure. I think, you know, we saw last night, we well, not so much our structure, but just how it was a bit loose, a few drop balls, and just probably give the Tigers a bit too much of a sniff. And, you know, when you do that against opposition, we just probably put ourselves under the pump too much. We did it 2 weeks previous against Parramatta, and we ended up coming unstuck where we just give away too much cheap possession. And I think that's a big thing for us. We, you know, if we complete well, we have good share. We usually, you know, find out of a lot of energy in defence. As we, you know, we saw against the Dragons, who I know aren't doing too well at the moment. But if we'd have let them be on the game, they'd have certainly turned up. So, I think just everyone individually being on the game and just being really high on them completion rates.
Talking about individuals, you must be pretty happy playing behind Josh Papali at the moment. Mate, what a season he's having.
Mate, he's just Mr. Consistent. He's just so good at his job. He's like a little wombat. He's so solid. Like when you
little wombat
training it, it's just shoulders like. He reminds me of the orange fella out the Fantastic Four, just the big rock fella. He's just so solid when you hit him in training. But mate, he's an unbelievable player, mate. He's got so many attributes to his game. He can pass, he can kick, he can offload. You don't see him kick too much, but he's got one in the locker, trust me.
What about your little fullback, Josh? He's been one of the finds of the year, Chance Nickel Clockstead. Great set of wheels on him and really developing as an attacking threat for the Raiders. What's he like? I've heard he's a great fella behind the scenes and he does a lot of good things that go unnoticed around the club.
Yeah, he's probably the most professional bloke I think I've ever met, to be honest. He comes in every day and he has all his food weighed out and in separate tubs and puts them in the fridge. And he just does everything down to a T. He's really in all of his preparation in terms of making sure he's wrote down all his notes for the week, and he brings on his notebook and everything like that. So he's a really switched on kid. And I remember the first session he had, we was down at Westbourne Con and we had a contact session. That was his first session. And Sticky slung him in straight away out the back in the starting team. And as soon as he played, I said, he's going to be good, this kid, for us. And he's been really good for us this year.
The Raiders now, they had their Hall of Fame dinner Friday night. Did you guys go along to that, or because the night before a game, you give it a miss?
Yeah, we all went along. We got there for about 6, and Stick said you'll be away before 9 o'clock. So we obviously couldn't stay too late, but we stayed for all the inductions and the meal and everything. And I thought it was a really great night. As I said before, I think it's really important to show a lot of respect to the people that have played at the club before you, and especially the ones that have had a lot of success as well. And you get to hear some old stories and see some old faces. And you know, it's always a good night when you get amongst everyone. It's especially down here. There's just a you know, a real family feel to it. So it's nice.
Yeah, and do you sort of get like, do you start to feel like you're part of something bigger when you see the old vision and hear the old stories, and you run into these, you know, old fat blokes who back in their day were great footballers and have got a story to tell and were part of building something that you're now part of?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I said it on the night, certainly for me, being the co-captain of the club, it's a massive honour when you see some of these players and what they've accomplished in the game to be captain of such a prestigious club. That's won so much, and not only that, but it's had such legends of the game play in it. Is a real honour, and you know, it is nice to see these old blokes, and you know, I like seeing the blokes that you probably don't hear too much about, the ones that are the household names that you get introduced to, and you know, they give you a bit of the backstory on them and what they're doing now. It's always nice to hear from them fellas too.
And is it true that Tim Sheens did a Skype hookup with you guys and had a chat to all the players?
Yeah. He was hoping to be over in Australia for the Forever Green reunion, but he couldn't make it. So he did a bit of Skype just to say hello and had a chat to us all. And yeah, he's a really good fella. I'd never spoke to him before, and I couldn't believe how clued up he was on his footy. I thought he had a real good insight into the game. And I asked if I could even pick his brains after and catch up on a first time another time. So I was really impressed with his knowledge of the game, and he seems a really good bloke.
Make sure you got plenty of money on your phone, mate, because he does love a yarn, Sheens. He can tell a great story when you start talking footy. Pull up a pew.
Yeah, Sticky said that to him on FaceTime. He said, Sheens, you've got half an hour.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, we'll let you go, mate. And thank you for your time and all the best with the Raiders going into the back end of the season. And tell you what, mate, it's good having you back. Thank you very much for joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Good on you, mate. There he goes, Josh Hodgson.
What a player.
I still say,
how
boys,
good are you going?
If I see a rerun of the on the Fox League of the 89 grand final, that's still my all-time favourite game that didn't involve my own club.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable game. I reckon I might have been 16, I suppose, and I was a Balmain supporter because I played for the Tigers back home in Townsville. So a Tiger, and I had Ciro and, you know, Wayne Pearce and Blocker and Benny Elias, Gary Jack, the world's best back, and all these guys. And, you know, the Raiders, just when they went on that run and in the game, you sort of started to sort of switch and starting to like them. And I had all those great Queenslanders playing as well. So, mate, it was a great grand final. Unbelievable grand final. And even today, if you put that game up there, like, it was a great game. And I believe the Cowboys in Brisbane would probably be the second one to that. I thought that was a great grand final.
This one kills it. The Cowboys-Brisbane game
was a great finale.
Ended well.
97 as well.
Ended well. 97 was a better grand final than the Cowboys-Brisbane grand final. 97 was a magnificent grand final because there were so many moments throughout the game that shaped the game. And that's why 89 is still the standout, because it wasn't just the Steve Jackson try at the end.
No.
There are so many incidents in the game that just changed the whole momentum, and it just swung back and forth.
It was
and
going
missed
like the crossbar, the ankle tap. I think
Benny hit the crossbar.
Bill Harrigan's mistake, he still won't admit to.
Yeah, with Bruce Maguire being penalised.
Penalised, and they asked, mate, is that in the rule book? No, but it just didn't look right. Is that in the rule book? No, but it doesn't look right.
Paul, do you remember, in the 89 grand final, it's the first time I can really remember people talking about how the intensity lifted for that game. That game that's the first I can remember of a game. I was only 23, just going a million miles an hour for the first 40, 50 minutes.
Oh, it was. What happened, and this is missing from the game these days, is as the game went on, they came out, they were fresh, and they tore into each other. But then what happened is they both hit that wall and got that second win part, but fatigue then became into the game. And then what happened with the fatigue, it then opened up the game in whole new areas with all these second efforts and all these inspired efforts from players to not be conquered by themselves. And that's where we saw, like, that McNeil ankle tap, right? That was a set play. Warren Ryan is a genius, okay? Warren Ryan came up with a set play because he knew Mal Meninga's lateral movement at that stage of Mal's career wasn't great. So he said, what we're going to do, we're going to wait till late in the game, we're going to put a play on here, and we're going to capitalise and take advantage of Mal Meninga's lack of lateral movement, and we'll put you through the gap here, Megs, and you'll score. So they did that. And it worked a treat, except for Mal, who's just a champion, dived and ankle tapped him because it was the only play he had left. He was beaten.
The play worked
perfectly. The only play he had left for him was to try and get an ankle tap on McNeil, and that's what he did. Knocked him over. McNeil falls down meters from the try line with a try that probably would have won the grand final. Then you see Benny Elias hit the crossbar because under fatigue he's not in good spot. He has to rush the field goal attempt.
There's rumours that the crossbar was lower, or was that just come out of Balmain?
John McIntyre told me that. John McIntyre, this is a conspiracy theory, but this is part of why the game is so great, because all these other conspiracy theories have come out of the game. But John McIntyre told me that when they did they were doing the Raiders training ground down in Canberra one day, and they had to put the goalposts up, and the groundsman said, mate, how high do we put the crossbar on the goalpost? Like, is it up 2 metres, 3 metres? How high do you go? He said, I don't know. He said, ring the football stadium and ask them how high theirs is. So he rang the football stadium, asked them how high theirs was, put it up the same height down in Canberra. Bob's your uncle. It's all good. Until one day they sat down and someone said, mate, it's 3 inches higher than it should be.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if that's right or not.
That's
okay?
Awesome, yeah.
But John McIntyre, who used to be the former chairman of the club, told me that story. And he said, I will guarantee you, he said that crossbar was 3 inches too high.
The other great story of a million.
He's the cameraman saying that.
The other great story of a million to come out of that game. For any kids that have never seen the 89 grand final, do yourself a favour, sit down and watch it. But Hoops, we all know and love and have a bit to do with the great Blocker Roach, who was replaced in that game, And the last time I spoke to Blocker about it, I don't think he'd still even watched the game.
No, I spoke to Blocker about it only just the other day. And obviously, you know, it's a testament to the sort of bloke that Blocker is, that yesterday in the Super Saturday coverage, they had Mal and he was
come over. We were interviewing Mal and Blocker come over and, you know, Balmain, like for Blocker, like that must hurt because they're all, and then I don't think anybody that played for Balmain in the 89 ever went on to win a grand final at any other club either as well. So, but like Blocker said, that when they got in the dressing rooms, their jerseys, you know what I mean, because they were brand new jerseys, but they were so long. Like they were ridiculously long. They were
about
like,
too big.
Yeah, like about 30 centimetres too long. So they were hanging at the bottom of their shorts. So they get them cut off and they were too big. So there's everything that could have went wrong. And then it sort of rattled the boys a bit. And then Mal Meninga, you know, he thought at the toss that Wayne Pearce was nervous. He could see Wayne Pearce was on edge. And then he said it yesterday in the coverage. And I don't know whether he said it before and it was ever written, but he said, when Wayne Pearce walked out, I saw how nervous he was. I think, well, if Wayne Pearce is nervous, what's the rest of the team doing? So, and I think they won 8 in a row, the Raiders, to get there. It's a great story.
It's one of the, I say again, if you have never seen it, if you're younger than 30 years old, you've never seen it, it's a turning point moment.
And well, that particular turning point that you speak of was when Warren Ryan, you know, regarded as one of the greatest coaches of all time and won plenty of premierships, decided to pull Blocker Roach off with.
But he did it in the previous
game. Yeah, I know he'd done it before. I know he'd done it before.
Look, I got no problem
with 15 to go.
I got no problem with Ryan doing that.
Was it Blocker and Ciro?
Blocker first.
And he put on Kevin Hardwick and I think Mick Pobgy.
Yes,
yeah, correct. Two blokes that come and defend. And it's happening now.
He took off two big forwards and put on two noted defenders when they had the lead. He was obviously clearly trying to protect the lead. And in a tight game, that's not a stupid thing to do. It all came unstuck once it went into extra time.
That's a risk with negative tactics, though, isn't it? When you try and defend a lead like that. But it was interesting talking.
But let's remember, this is the 80s.
Yeah, of course.
Where defence dominated the game.
Yeah, it was king.
It's different to what it is now.
Talking to Benny Lyce during the week on Fox League, we asked him, have you ever asked Warren Ryan why he made that call? He said, no, and I don't think anybody ever has. We'd done it previously throughout that final series.
I did. I asked.
Did you?
Yeah.
And what did he say?
Well, he did it the weeks before, and it was perfect. Blocker's a big guy, and I love him. And of course, you want to play 80 minutes, but sometimes you can't.
All right,
and he might have been fresher that day, but if they go on and win, we don't hear about it.
Sunday, Triple M NRL 89 Grand Final, the best game I think ever. Certainly the best Grand Final.
Oh, so it was better than the South Grand Final.
Well, it wasn't if you're a South supporter, but any game doesn't involve your own club. Gordie Tallis, Paul Kent, the Human Tricep, James Hooper, and Maroon are going to come back with the award-winning segment. I call. BS.
Triple M footy for Ream Hot Water.
Yeah, welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL in the women's touch football. Gold Coast and Parramatta 2-2. That score is thanks to our friends at Tyre Power, and it's time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what I call BS on right here and now. You can call BS on anything you want, right? What about this? I go into my local fruit and veg over there where I live in God's Country in Little Bay. I go into the local shop up there at Maddo, and I buy, you know how much I love mandarin soups. Yes. I love mandarins.
Mm. Yeah, you do.
So I went to buy some mandarins on Thursday. The mandarins are $2.49 a kilo. Then Friday, the same mandarins are $3.49 a kilo. So we know about, you know, taxis touting, price gouging in fuel. Is there now, is there mandarin price gouging?
Mandarin
gouging. Is that a thing?
Well, they probably weren't ripe the day you bought them, but a day later they were ripe, so therefore more people might want them.
Did you ask the owner of the Little Bay Imperial fruit and veggie shop why they
were? They were Imperial, yeah. I said, why are you charging a dollar more for the same thing? You know, what if people come in here and go Burko for mandarins on the weekend?
World problem.
I know, but I've sent a letter to the Mandarin Ombudsman and we'll get it sorted. That's what I'm calling BS on today.
Ombudsman.
Ombudsman.
Can you say that word properly?
Ombudsman, isn't it, Paul?
No,
that's it. That'll do.
No, it's not.
Who else would like to call BS?
Yeah, I'll call BS on this campaign, it seems, to get rid of Mark Coyne from the ARL Commission. I think that I know he didn't cover himself in glory this week, but at the end of the day, he went out, had a few beers, and called a police officer a couple of names, and that's it. That is it. and yet people want him sacked and run out of the game when he is one of the smartest people we've had get involved in rugby league in the past 5-10 years. We desperately need more people like him who have actually got a little bit of grunt to what they say, got a little bit of intelligence to what they say, and are passionate about the game. And yet, because of one incident, all these half-wits out there who keep going, oh, mate, consistency, and his position's untenable, and he did the wrong thing, therefore he should stand down, there should be no fear or favour. Dead set. When do people start living in this world where nobody ever makes a mistake? I get sometimes, I've been critical of players for making mistakes in the past, I get all that, but there are some offences that are forgivable and we should just move on. Some aren't, clearly, but some we just sit down and all these people get their... Yeah, Nick is in a knot over this. They just got to have a good look at themselves,
and
I think.
And Peter Beattie's in Kakadu. I mean, it's...
The commission have all gone away, Anthony, because there's no meeting on this month. So most of them have gone away. Half the commission are overseas and all the rest. And that's fine. I've got no problem with that. Peter Beattie didn't know that this was going to break. But at the end of the day, seriously, he had a few drinks and insulted someone by calling them names.
Lesbian or something like that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the other thing. The people who want him sacked, that's not an insult.
No.
Some people are proud to be ill. Anthony's proud. Anyway.
Of his haircut.
But I just think it's ridiculous that we sit down and we're such a little girl's game sometimes, the way we carry on. It just amazes me sometimes.
But what's the go with having holidays in the middle of footy season? I thought you blokes are the only blokes that are allowed to do that.
You can if you want.
People
have holidays all the time.
Would you like to call BS, Gordon?
Yeah, I want a good BS, actually, because it can be good or bad.
Yeah, of course it can.
I think the game has to toughen up what Paul was saying before, and they got to throw a bit more weight behind coaches. You know, because when players got told what to do back in my day, you just had to do it. It was as simple as that. And the coach was always right. And then if not, you know, like you tried hard, if you know, or you went and played reserve grade or whatever. I just feel now with some of these coaches, like Madge McGuire probably would have been saying what he was saying behind closed doors and not getting the results. So he come out and said, this is not acceptable. But we keep on saying, oh, well, what about the game plan? But we never talk about the effort of players and whether they're playing good enough or not or whether they want to. I spoke about Dugan last week and then everybody tried to have a shot at me. And it wasn't the fact that, you know, that it was against Dugan. It was the fact that I feel sorry for him that he's not enjoying his footy anymore. But I think that the onus has to come back on the players. When I played, it was the players. They got the raps. It was the players that got bagged. And now, you know, if coaches... And the Titans, like, you know, they're in a process of getting a new coach. It's bloody hard to go out there and get the right coach. Wayne Bennett went to Newcastle and everybody applauded and thought, wow, they've got, you know, arguably the greatest coach other than him and Craig Bellamy in the last 20 years. And he failed and said, I can't fix the joint. And Nathan Brown.
He sacked himself.
Yeah. And Nathan Brown comes in and has done an absolutely fantastic job. So you never quite know with coaches, and you never quite know with players whether they're going to reach the heights or not. The Broncos said no to Jonathan Thurston, Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk, Billy Slater, and yet they're four of the best Queenslanders and they're right underneath their nose. So there's decisions that get made and they're not always right, but I'd like to see the onus come on the players just a little bit more, and let's toughen up as a game. And, mate, it's a man's game. It's been played by some really good ones, and let's get it back to where it should be.
And you talk to coaches today, and they can't come out and say this publicly because straight away they get their players offside, but in the old days, a coach would call a player in, he'd say, listen, mate, you're going no good. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put you back in reserve grade for a couple of weeks, give you a run, get your confidence back, and then we'll bring you back up. And the player, if the player didn't agree with it, he'd get the shits, he'd go back, and his attitude was, I'm going to show that bloke that I can play. And he'd go out and he'd bust his backside to show the coach he could play. Now, when they get the same speech, they walk out, they ring their manager. They say, mate, get me out of here. I'm unhappy. Next minute, the manager puts around that he's not happy at the club.
It's on the back page of the paper.
It's on the back page.
So whose fault is it? Is it our fault for talking about it?
No,
like when we're
not
on the shows?
No, it's not. But Gordon, take the media out of it, mate. Because I tell you why, and this
if it didn't get written, the player would have to toughen up.
Okay, and I'll tell you if it didn't get written.
Yeah, but it's 29.
This is what people need to understand. If it didn't get written, they'd be playing for raffle money. They wouldn't be getting the big dollars they're all getting.
Write the stories, but not write when they're not happy because they've been told and they've been playing, Paul. Oh, that's the point I'm trying to make.
Look, from our point of view...
You should know when a manager rings you, Paul, whether it's serious or whether it's going, this kid is just not having a go.
That doesn't matter, though. That doesn't matter. If they're putting that out there, that's out there. Well, that should be
that's
irrelevant.
Why it's never going to change. So can I take my BS back? Because it's never going to change because they're going to keep on writing it. So hold on. Can I go back? Because they're going to keep on writing it and a player's going to get a way out.
All right. Would you like to call BS on something, Hoops?
Well, Anthony, social media on Triple M is apparently lit up over the last 48 hours. You are a massively popular member Triple M.
Over the last 48 hours, is it?
Mm. Yeah. Okay, no, it's been a light.
Right.
And so as a result of that, this was brought to our attention from a call that you're involved in over the weekend, where once again it seems like your mouth might be writing checks that perhaps we're not going to cash.
If he misses this, I'll take the Triton out there on the middle of the SCG. And I will do doughies till the police come and stop me. So if he misses...
You can't believe how I'm just riding this kid.
He misses 22 points to 10.
You can't believe how I want him
I'm out there with the Mitsubishi Triton.
Need him to hit an upright here.
And I'm doughying on.
Let's see if he can hit.
There we go. And I would have added a spear of spud at the end there. But now he kicks it. Ah, see? So you are listening now. Look, that's only a little bit of a joke there, Hoops. What do you want me to do? Take a Mitsubishi Triton out onto the SCG? Well, how about if I just come around and do it on your front lawn?
Just take it to Waterloo Oval.
Yeah, Waterloo Oval and do it.
No issues whatsoever, Anthony. But then what happened was social media continued to light up, and this other piece of one of your calls from earlier in the year also surfaced.
What a let off there for Blake Ferguson. It was an error. Blake. I'd love to see the coach replay there, but he'll be buying that referee a beer at the end of the night.
I tell you what, if either of these two sides finish in the top eight, I'll sing the national anthem at the grand final.
Oh, here we go. You're going to make another veiled promise, yeah? You won't come through with
it. So what sides were they there, Hoops?
Well, one had to be Parramatta.
Yeah, that was round 11, and it was Parramatta and Penrith.
Right.
And I'm just looking at the ladder now, Anthony. Start warming up the larynx and the vocal cords.
Can you do it in the Roosters cheerleader?
What did I say? If the Parramatta or Penrith make
the top eight, you'll sing the national anthem. Them at the grand
right,
final.
Right, okay. Well, I tell you what, at least I could sing it properly, get it right, not get the lyrics wrong. And here's something. Here's a memo to you, Hoops. Believe it or not, I can actually sing. So if they want me to sing the national anthem, I'll sing the national anthem.
Come on, give us a few bars.
And what I'll do is, no, I won't. Will I not just sing national anthem? I'll do a Billy Joel tribute into the national anthem.
Hey, Big Mouth, can I just say something?
Yeah.
Your threat didn't say where you're going to sing the anthem. Might not be out in the middle of the field.
Oh, it'll be out in the middle of the field.
No, because you know the NRL won't allow that. But we might get you to sing it at our outside broadcast grand final day. Oh!
No. I think you'll find
that's the grand
final at
the grand final. We'll get you at the grand final. Outside when we're doing our OB.
Mate.
Give us a couple of bars of Billy Joel.
Give us something.
If the NRL need me to sing the national anthem, I will donate the fee.
Now you are lying. Stop teasing our listeners. Just give us a few bars.
I'll go into the studio. I'll knock something up. I'll knock up a bit of Billy Joel.
You will not. See, this is another one of his fake promises.
Still rock and roll to me. Into
fake
you may
news,
be right.
Hashtag fake news.
Into the national anthem. All right, and I'll even do. At halftime, I'll do the Maltese national anthem, the Lebanese national anthem, the Portuguese national anthem.
See, this is where you see.
No,
overboard.
Listen, I said I'll do it. If the NRL ring here and want me to do it, I'll do it and donate the Anthony. Why don't you all clear your ears out,
Anthony? There's no mention. You just said you would do it at the grand final.
That's right. I didn't say I'd do it at the Speedway.
And it's not the NRL.
Yeah, we'll get you it to do it us. At the grand final when we do our outside broadcast that day.
That's not the deal.
That's not the deal. At the grand final. That's according to your rules.
Anyone at the NRL wants me to sing at the grand final?
You know what? I'll make a phone call. I'll get a call.
Don't you make
a call.
The last thing I need is your help. All right? So we'll leave it there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll speak to Blake Green, and we'll talk about the Roosters scoring 42 points in one half of footy to beat the Knights yesterday. Didn't they flog them?
Yeah, thanks, 48-10.
It's all coming up as Triple M rocks the footy.